are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, Oregon, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, and 91.9 FM in Hood River. This is Art Focus, and I am Aurora Josephson, presenting a third in a series of studio visits during the pandemic. My central questions for artists during the visit are, what are you up to now? What is it that inspires you to make art during the time of COVID-19? And how, if at all, has COVID changed the art-making process for you? My guest today, Alexander R. Lilly, attended the Pacific Northwest College of Art when it was located at the Portland Art Museum. He studied under the printmakers Tom Prochaska and Gordon Gilkey, and has been an artist and activist residing in Old Town Portland for more than 20 years. I completed several studio visits with Alex and even received a demo at his blacksmithing shop, which unfortunately was lost due to cell phone interference on his building, and which is also the reason why we did not record at the studio. The following is Alex reading a poem he wrote. Following that is an interview I conducted with Alex, our fourth and final attempt. And following that, finally, is music from Alex's band, which was inspired by the demonstration series photos and paintings mentioned in the interview.
Ekpyrosis. I walk slow past a meaningless future. A remembrance bell rings for what it was like in the era of the plague. Not alive, but also not dead. A virus blows on the wind effluvia through a downtown corridor, blood-piled shadow streets. Vacant buildings boarded up. Passers-by, afraid of everyone else, alone hurry past in a cut-corner labyrinth of the city streets' avoidance grid. A cold world alone and apart, like plague rats run from tent to tent. Sick tents are set up in pest-hostile parking lots. Emissions restrictions are lifted for burning off of the dead. Abandoned heaps of trash and abandoned people lay on abandoned sidewalks. Mumblers sift through bits of contraband memories. People lost by cancel cults past. Social quarantine, your stochastic community goes feral. Lockdown resistance, affinity groups go rogue. Social distance is 6 feet underground. We all wander a hellscape where the glories of the times of before are the times we have all forgotten. Gothic club mortician, Our Lady of Affliction. Her business is death and business is good. All those years of militarizing the police has gotten you your neo-insurrection. Police unions aren't like other unions. We run through riots in the era of the lost breath. Through the tear gas, we throw the tear gas canisters back. False flag, anti-authoritarians, torture mob, laughter, mace attacks. At the end of nature, we live in our gas masks. Forest fires make summers into winter, cool, overcast. Smoke chokes silent streets, fallout, ashen lockdown. And now the heroes of September's past have been declared January terrorists. 1-6 was an inside job. Off-duty neo-insurrectionist conspiracy cultics. Now self-proclaimed anti-fascist banned books. Kill all the art with fire. Censor leftist artists they cannot use. Suppress all truth in a romantic online lying civil war of social media sociopaths. 2 Third Street adversaries add up to one and the same. You gun each other down, proudfaw anti-boys. All fall into the abyss of indifference, the downtown corridor. Third Street, that runs like a trench of disappearance. Third Street, misinformants shriek, accusation nation, scurry from riot mob to torture mob. As the last windows downtown are smashed, a veil is lifted between the rioter and the hungry ghosts of the martyred dead. A distant cry echoes through the downtown corridor. Columns of riot police and not vetted nationalist guards chase pockets of resistance through clouds of choking gas. Explosive blasts. Siren song reverberate down the downtown valleys of death, down into Old Town. Here the dumpsters burn, car wreck sounds of hit and runs smash the surging protests. I am hit by a kill car. As I fly forever above the chaos, I wonder how long it will be before I hit the concrete. Riots in the streets. A battle-hardened city. The clouds hang low here. Compress the tear gas and shattered glass. Yet no one looks up from their conspirituality, their tiny screen riots, and their living game of death. I resist your ideology of first-person shooter, QAnon, Antifa, savior quest. I resist your kill list, insurrectionists. Tear down all your pandemic metal and concrete federation walls. We paste our statement of purpose upon your 501c3 plywood barricades, stochastic enforcers. All your lies online, you stabbed us all in the back. I smash your composite state. Your corruption misinforms us, so we fight ourselves over your scraps. Fratricide, another generation lost to interpersonal violence. You say you hate the cops until you became one. You say you love police, then you killed one. Disingenuous, you're all one and the same. Pale, dismal vanguardists of street fights are the only thing that matters to you. From a place of truth and virtue. But then you began to fetishize your own expertise. Your security team became loyal, corrupt enforcers. You, unwilling to go to jail for your beliefs, yet willing to put the rest of us there. Your only power is to cheat to win. So you fall by increments. Cover-up lies became necessary to secure your in-group messianic positioning. You're morally bankrupt. You become what you vowed you were against. Altruism is dead as your call-out cults tear it all apart. You declare that you will return in another form. You are become death, a variant of the plague. Extremists work with police. Extremists are police. Police are extremists, and everyone is a kill list insurrectionist. In the time of the narcissists, activists with a badge and a gun, greed fights over a one-sided coin. You earn your laces in a meritocracy. These are the times of the plague riots. For nature to survive, we must all die.
I am live with Alex Lilly, coming at you from Hideaway 4. Long story, but this is our fourth attempt at an interview. And I'm feeling pretty good about this.
Hello, hello.
Hello. So, my first question for you is, during all of those visits, I never caught the name of your studio. Does it have a name?
No, it does not. It's too much of a risk to actually have names for spaces, just because we are living in an age of intense jealousy.
Hmm. And what does that mean? How does that translate to?
Well, every time that I do artwork, I somehow get attacked by someone.
It's just...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's... I believe we're...
Political.
It's political, and also I do believe that we are living in an intense age of censorship.
So it's better just not to have a name?
Oh, no. It's actually dangerous.
It's dangerous to have a name.
It's dangerous to have a name for a space.
Right, so it's better not to have a name.
Yeah, really have to live under, you know, do your work underground. We don't live.
Gotcha. I remember you said that once. We don't live. Okay, so during the pandemic, you've been busy working on a few different series of things. The first one I wanted to discuss with you, and these are also posted on my website, aurorajosephson.com, are the demonstration series. It seems like it's an ongoing series. When did it start, and when will it end? Those are mine.
Yes, so I actually started doing Riot paintings or Riot artwork way back in the WTO era when the police were starting to get militarized.
In Seattle with those strikes up there.
Yeah, so over the years, the police have been getting more and more militarized. So I've been doing large-scale etchings and engravings of just silhouettes of police in riot gear.
And what year did that start? So that's
1999,
2000. Okay, so those silhouettes started then.
Yeah, eras ago, pretty much.
And that was printmaking?
Yes.
Primarily.
Okay. Yeah, so like at large-scale etching press, you know, pressing into paper. So their work's on paper. Mm-hmm. And over the years, as the police have been getting more and more militarized, it's essentially turned into the insurrection that happened on the U.S. Capitol. That really is the end result. Plus, also, the general public becomes the enemy of the police as they get more and more militarized. This is what I've noticed.
Which means they're shooting things like tear gas at you now. And it's becoming more and more escalated.
Yeah, but they're also just like, it's a separation of police and just the general public. So then the general public essentially becomes the enemy. Oh. And also, once you become that militarized, you want to take over the government and become the government. And that is why there are insurrections.
All right.
In my opinion.
So, one of these delightful paintings, and they're all, just describe, they're all in a block format, these paintings.
Yes.
And you've made them on, with what materials?
So, America's dumpsters are rich.
Yeah.
Lots of paper gets thrown away. Lots of doors for, you know, office doors are thrown away in the downtown corridor. It's really thick, nice wood. So I cut up grids of small blocks. They're 7 by 7 inches. So then I do, as the world is unraveling, there's more and more protests happening. So over the years, I've been documenting it. It's pretty much pure documentation. So, you know, photographs, videos. Then I take those photographs and videos and transfer them into paintings of the actions happening and then do long grids. So it'll be like sets of 12 or sets of 6 of just what's happening on the streets.
And that's based on your own experiences, and the documentation informs that as well.
Yes.
And the one I'm looking at, there is clearly written on the pavement, "Black lives will always matter."
Yes.
And there are a number of, are these riot police or are they demonstrators milling about there?
That's actually a line of federal riot police shooting tear gas at people.
Okay, I do see the clouds now of big billowing, fluffy, yellowish, horrid looking.
Yeah, so I use
clouds of tear gas.
Yeah, so I use really thick paint and do, like, you know, the twisting of the brush. What's interesting is that painting is the only medium where you can really get lost in the painting. Like, the twist of the brush is just really nice, like the process of it. Then I'll do stain work over it. It just makes it look really old. And
yeah, it looks very
thick. Sort of timeless.
Yeah.
It makes it timeless.
It has a very, like, varnished, like, veneer, like a burnished veneer kind.
Yeah, and also, I was never a painter before September 11th.
Okay.
I was doing all the riot cop series of just silhouetted riot police before then. Then when September 11th happened, the colors of the September 11 blue sky and the burning fire and the inky black clouds, you know, smoke clouds coming off of it really, really struck me. So I did a bunch of work as memorial pieces, and some of my work was actually selected from this gallery called Exit Art, and it was selected for a permanent collection in the Library of Congress, actually. Wow. But I had never painted before that, so that started the process. Then we started bombing Iraq, and the color schemes were the same. It was the same blue, pale blue sky with intense fire and inky black smoke coming off these buildings.
Right. And the oil wells burning below.
Also, yes. Also the intense burning of the oil well fires, and then that actually informed my work to be the End of Nature series. So I started doing paintings of the oil being burned off the Gulf of Mexico. I have large scale paintings of that.
And that, the End of Nature, there's a lovely video of you painting the oak tree, the flames going up into the oak tree.
Yeah, so that's
on my website as well. And you do a quick couple minutes of just dashing up those flames.
Yeah, and that's also like, it's really contemplative to be able to be working the brush like that. But that's that oak tree burning that's California burning, and now everything's burning every year, even here.
It did look to me like an ode to California, and a shout out to all those people that are lost everything in the fires.
Yeah. Also, as it's being burned off, I'll put like flecks of gold leaf into the embers coming off of them. I actually use brass leaf because gold is like not really too good to get. It's actually environmentally horrible, and
really?
Yeah, but that's a whole other subject. And so as the way that I look at the leaves, the gold leaf specks, is that really is, it's the wealth, it's our wealth being burned off, which also goes into like this, have a Death of Antiquity series.
Which is the next thing I want to talk about. Yay! How did the Death of the Antiquity series start?
So, that started because this huge museum in Rio, no one was paying attention to the wiring for like fire suppression or anything like that, because in my opinion, everyone is too attached to like cell phones and stuff, so nobody's actually going to museums anymore. It's only like if you have to really appreciate that stuff to even want to study it or even know that anything exists. So it kind of, that also goes back to Iraq being destroyed, or any of these, like I have lots of war paintings of Syria, and all these places are being destroyed. And the thing is, if you see a tank running over a 3-foot wall somewhere, that wall is probably thousands of years old. And when all these invasions and occupations start happening, the first thing that gets destroyed is the artwork. Like really old, ancient, beautiful art, or the museums are looted and then everything is sold off. So that's the real problem.
Like the Buddhas were blown up.
Yeah, in Afghanistan, those beautiful things blown up to erase the past, essentially, so that the next generation of sycophants can take everything over.
And no one remembers anything.
Yeah, it's very sad. So that's the problem that I have with all these invasions and war, is that the artwork is the first thing to be destroyed. The Death of the Antiquities.
And you have a couple amazing... the Burning of Notre Dame, which you made a really quite a large-scale painting of. It was, what, 30 feet?
Something like that, 25 by 7.5 or so.
And what was that? That piece was for a festival?
That was actually for the Pickathon Festival. They give me a stage every year, or they did before the plague pandemic hit, and now everything seems to be on hold, or I'm a little nervous that this is just the way that things will always be. But then you look back.
Be normal.
Yeah. Well, then you look back, and it's like, Plagues of the past went on for like 200 years, so we actually have it pretty good, which is really sad to think about. And then I don't know if there's these variants coming up, like we could be in a,
let's hope not,
in a bad place.
So here's my main question. How has, if at all, your art making process changed during the pandemic?
That's interesting because I suppose I've insulated myself from everything just by being an artist. I'm able to survive with barely anything. And my philosophy on stuff is to have the equipment in place to be able to use and then just get rid of the artwork. So as I'm making artwork, I'm trying to just, you know, put it out there, like get it out onto the streets. Like I'll just tape things to walls and just to get rid of stuff and then just have the equipment going all the time. So in a sense, I have insulated myself so that I have my press going.
So it hasn't changed really. Maybe.
Not really. I mean, I'm actually sort of enjoying it. It's making me do the best work I've ever done. It's like making me deeply think about like how good the world had it for 100 years. That's it though, because before it was not so easy, and now like I think that this is actually the way that everything is supposed to.
You shared a track. You recorded the track, the lyrics for the first track on your upcoming album.
Yeah.
And this music was inspired by the demonstrations and the art making that you've been doing.
Yes, and also this pandemic stuff. So the album is called Ekpyrosis. So what we've been doing is every time there's riots or protest stuff, we'll go out and film, and then whatever me and my bandmates film during the evening's clashes will either inform what goes into the music, or the music, or we'll play before we go out every night. And since things were basically going on every night,
right,
we had a lot of material to work with. And so then what we do is we make music that goes straight into the videos. So we're overdubbing music onto our videos, but then also using the sounds that we're getting of blast and tear gas stuff and
wow,
the intense demonstrations that are happening because police are shooting people and because they become militarized. So it all comes back into full circle. And so the first song is Black Swan Events.
Okay.
And so what's happening now is that these Black Swan Events are happening, and that's an event that you don't see, that you don't anticipate, yet after the Black Swan Events happen, you're like, oh, that makes sense that that happened. And so the first song, so you were actually in the studio when I was recording it, so...
And so we're going to actually close by playing this under 3 minute song for you, and thank you very much for being my guest on this pandemic.
Thanks for visiting. Thanks for looking.
Thank you. And we wanted to put a shout out to Michael Parsons.
Yes.
And thank him for his hospitality.
Yes, because he actually had an art show of my riot paintings, and then while the paintings were up, his windows were actually smashed.
And then you made I saw the piece that you made to cover the window.
Yeah.
Was it a Notre Dame burning, also a smaller Notre Dame?
Well, his windows get smashed all the time, so that was actually a different smashing. But
oh, okay. Oh, God.
People actually smashed the windows either because of my art or just the art wasn't good enough for them. I don't know. Everyone's a critic.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care.
Cheers.
Another day, we won't listen to anything you say. Feeling this way, I'm in another place. It's what you didn't do, say there's no way to say face. Your action makes an action, a reaction. Action, action, you're an action makes a reaction. Action, action, your action makes reaction. Our action, action, you're an action makes reaction, a reaction. And we're still here as the memory of you fades away. And I'm still here, your reaction didn't save the day. And after the fog bore has cleared, compensation gold was achieved with fear. As black swan events circle above, you claim that your violence was an act of love. You torture the people into silence. I won't be missed by this viral. live to see another day. If you look cool with all your black and blue, that's what drinking with us thinking's all that you do. And here I am all full of worry and sorrow. Let's hope the day was much worse than tomorrow. Believe it or not, this misery is what we go. I'm on being about, I can see the top. Everything's fine, everything's great, except for the way that you twist it to fate. Your ultimate drift makes it hard to want to live. Everything's fine, except the out of your mind. 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 Everything's fine, except the out of your mind.
Listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, Oregon, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, and 91.9 FM in Hood River. This is Art Focus. You have been listening to the third in a series of pandemic studio visits. I am Aurora Josephson, and I wish to thank Michael Parsons Fine Art Gallery for their hospitality during our interview process. It was much appreciated. Ava Lake, Joseph Gallivan, Ray Bodwell, and all the other staff at KBOO, which helped make this segment a reality. Thank you.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 23 de febrero del 2020.